Well, our scripture reading this morning is from Psalm 25. Psalm 25, if you'd like to turn there with me. Psalm 25. Psalm 25, a psalm of David. And we'll be reading the whole psalm. Psalm 25, starting at verse 1. To you, O Lord, I lift up my soul. O my God, I trust in you. Let me not be ashamed. Let not my enemies triumph over me. Indeed, let no one who waits on you be ashamed. Let those be ashamed who deal treacherously without cause. Show me your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. Lead me in your truth and teach me. For you are the God of my salvation. On you I wait all the day. Remember, O Lord, your tender mercies and your loving kindness, for they are from of old. Do not remember the sins of my youth, nor my transgressions. According to your mercy, remember me for your goodness' sake, O Lord. Good and upright is the Lord. Therefore, he teaches sinners the way. The humble he guides in justice, and the humble he teaches his way. All the paths of the Lord are mercy and truth to such as keep his commandment and his testimonies. For your name's sake, O Lord, pardon my iniquity, for it is great. Who is the man who fears the Lord? Him shall he teach in the way he chooses. He himself shall dwell in prosperity, and his descendants shall inherit the earth. The secret of the Lord is with those who fear him, and he will show them his covenant. My eyes are ever toward the Lord, for he shall pluck my feet out of the net. Turn yourself to me and have mercy on me, for I am desolate and afflicted. The troubles of my heart have enlarged. Bring me out of my distress. Look on my affliction and my pain and forgive all my sins. Consider my enemies, for they are many, and they hate me with cruel hatred. Keep my soul and deliver me. Let me not be ashamed, for I put my trust in you. Let integrity and uprightness preserve me, for I wait for you. Redeem Israel, O God, out of all their troubles. And there ends the reading of God's word this morning. Well, it's good to be back here. It's been almost a month, and last month we were outside. So how awesome it is to be back in the building. What a journey we've had. Think about it. This last year, sometimes we just shake our head. Wow, what a journey. The Lord has been good to us though, hasn't he? He's been good to all of us on this journey. Think of the journey we've been on in our spiritual walk. Some of us might just be starting out. And other of us have been on this walk for decades. Decades. But isn't it good to know that every time we pray, the Lord hears us? Every time when we're on this wondrous journey, when we're walking through the wilderness, every time we bend the knee, the Lord listens. He wants to hear from us. Every step of the way, the Lord is leading. The Lord is teaching. The Lord is hearing our prayers. And ultimately, in the end, he's making us more like his son along the way. So in this morning's test, we have a psalm of David. A psalm that's really a prayer of David. A prayer for him on his journey. He prays for forgiveness. He prays for rescue. And above all, he prays to walk in the ways of the Lord. Now, usually when you read Psalms, you'll read above the psalm, and it kind of gives you a hint of what he's doing in his life at this time. Maybe it's a psalm from him running from Absalom or hiding from Saul. But this psalm just says a psalm of David. It could be a prayer at any time in his life. And that's good for us to hear, because it could be a prayer for any time in our lives. David shows us his prayer, that he seeks to know God's way. And that's like the focal point in Psalm 25. He keeps going back to this. Lord, show me your way. Teach me your way. Show me the path I need to walk on. But as the more we study this psalm, the more we think about his covenant love for his people, a covenant for sinners like you and me. So before we get into the text, there's a little background I'd like to share with us. This psalm is very thought out. David wasn't just sitting and just taking his pencil and writing a psalm real quick, writing a song. No. In the Hebrew, this psalm is set up that every sentence starts with a Hebrew letter of the alphabet. So the first sentence starts with an aleph. The second step starts with a bet, then gimel, then dalet, then hey, then vav, all the way down, the whole psalm, the whole Hebrew alphabet. So he took time to write down this prayer. It meant a lot to him to think about it that way. And though we don't know Hebrew, and this psalm was written 3,000 years ago, we can still pray this psalm. We can still pray this prayer, because it's a prayer for those who trust in the Lord. It's a prayer for those who trust in his covenant faithfulness. And I believe that's us here this morning. So let me ask you this. Do you trust in the Lord? Right now, this very moment, search your heart. Can we pray this prayer? Or do we just live our lives that we only pray when times get tough? We only pray when we need rescue from our enemies. We only pray when somebody's sick. We only pray when we know, okay, we're at our wit's end, now's the time to pray. Do we make our own path? Do we set our own rules? Are we like Frank Sinatra, and at the end we're going to sing it, we did it our way? I hope that's not us. Because if that's you, I'm going to say something sad. If that's you, you're never going to make it to the end. You're not. You're going to fall short. That's a promise. You won't make it to the end without the Lord's help. See, God's purpose in all this is to bring sinners to repentance. Bring them into his gracious covenant. God provides the way. That's what David's telling us in this psalm. He provides the way. He's leading us. He's giving us the instruction. He's making it even possible to pray this prayer. So let's start at verse 1. To you, O Lord, I lift up my soul. O my God, I trust in you. Let me not be ashamed. Let not my enemies triumph over me. Indeed, let no one who waits for you be ashamed. Let those be ashamed who deal treacherously without cause. So we see right away the search for help from David. David turns to his God. He turns to his covenant Lord. He starts praying this prayer by calling on the name of his covenant God. Maybe in your Bible that says, to you, O Lord, and the Lord's all capitals. Have you ever seen that? Boys and girls, you're like, oh, that's different. Well, the people who put the Bible together is helping you out is knowing that every time you see the Lord's name in all capitals, boys and girls, it's the covenant name of God there. It's Yahweh. And that's the name that David uses to start his prayer. To you, Yahweh, I lift up my soul. He starts his prayer with a trust, knowing that God's going to answer it, because God is faithful to his covenant people. And there's that word wait again. Did you see it? waiting on the Lord, trusting in the Lord. We see it pop out throughout the prayer. He knows that none who wait on the Lord will be put to shame. None who put their trust in God will have fingers pointed at them in the public square. The public are totally on board with God's ways, aren't they? They love God's word. They love God's people. They'll never put us to shame for believing what's in the Bible. You guys are probably thinking, what in the world is he talking about? Isn't that how it is? It's not, is it? So what's David asking for here? What's David praying for here? I believe that David knows that his covenant Lord has him in the palm of his hand. And when he prays this prayer about not being put down, having shame placed on him, David is saying that in the end, when he makes it to heaven, there's not going to be judgment for him. The one who calls on the Lord, the one who trusts, the one who waits, the one who follows the Lord's way will never be put to shame when you stand up at the judgment seat. What we will hear is, well done, good and faithful servant. There will be no shame on that day for the believer. There'll be no more fingers pointed at us, no more scoffing. That's going to be a good day. That's not today, though. No. Today, the world heckles us about believing in the Bible. But what does David say? What's he say? Let those be ashamed who deal treacherously without cause. They know this whole time that God's in control. They could see it. And the sad thing is when they get to the judgment seat, they're going to hear, "Depart from me, you workers of iniquity." They will be the ones ashamed, not us. So as a believer, how do we trust in the Lord? How do we stay in that trust? David now prays for understanding the ways of the Lord. He's going to ask him, "Lord, teach me." So we see in verse 4, "Show me your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. Lead me in your truth and teach me. For you are the God of my salvation. On you I wait all the day long." See here, David's pleading with the Lord. "Lord, show me your way. Show me your path. I need to see it because I don't know what I'm going to do." How often do we have that feeling? You know, this idea of this way, this path that David's bringing up, it's like he's looking for instruction. He's looking for direction. You know, other places in the Old Testament, the word that David uses here is used in other ways, like Torah and law. It's the same language. So what we see here, in a poetic way, is that David is seeking divine instruction on a life worthy of the Lord. See, there's two ways in this world, isn't there? There's God's way, and then there's the world's way. Think of Psalm 1. Psalm 1 starts out this way: "Blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, or stand in the way of sinners, or in the seat of scoffers. But his delight is on the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night." So we see, in this world there's two ways, two paths. And David's saying, "I want the path that you're going to bless, Lord." At the end of Psalm 1, it says this: "Therefore the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the seat of congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous." See, the Lord knows the way. Because it's his way. It's not our way. Sometimes we think, "Okay, I've been a Christian for a long enough time. I think I got this. I'm just going to go off on my own. I can do this." And what David's telling us this morning is, don't do it. That is not the path that the Lord wants us on. So we read in verse 5, "Lead me in your truth and teach me." Why does he say that? Because it says, for you are the God of my salvation. And that should turn on a light for us. Okay. You see, when we learn the ways of the Lord, when you learn about His path and His truth, you understand that we can't do this on our own, can we? You start to look at yourself and think, yeah, I'm not going to be able to do this. You look at yourself and think, there's no way I can do this. When you read God's law like we did this morning, and it says things like, do this and live. Or it says things like, be holy for I am holy. You might just want to quit and go away. You might tell yourself, oh Lord, I'm never going to be able to do this. And that's a good place to be. Because the moment that you think, I'm never going to be able to do this, you turn to someone who has done it for you. You turn to God in His covenant love. Look at verse 6. Remember, O Lord, your tender mercies and your loving kindness, for they are from of old. See, David knows where his help is found. Loving kindness, that word there is the word hased in Hebrew. It's a covenant love that only God shows to His people. David knows that. This love, this mercy is from of old. The Lord has shown His people this love since the beginning. All the way back to the very beginning of the plan of salvation. Think of the garden in Eden. When Adam and Eve, they really blew it, didn't they? And they run and they hide. But God searches for them. It literally says in the text that God went looking for His people. He finds them. He asks them questions. He knows that they've sinned. And at that moment, God could just say, well, it's done. Sorry, you two, you're done. You have failed. But He doesn't do that, does He? No, He shows His covenant love for His covenant people. He says, I'm going to make a way. It's going to be my way. But I'm going to make a way that you can come back into fellowship with me. How awesome is that? He didn't have to, but He loved us so much that He wanted to. He wanted to set us free from the tyranny of the devil. See, when you understand that God has set that way up, that He's provided a way, what's the first thing you think of? Oh, Lord, thank you. Thank you. You repent. Oh, Lord, I'm a sinner, but you've set up a way for me to be free from my sin. That's what David writes in verse 7. Do not remember the sins of my youth, nor my transgressions. According to your mercy, remember me. For your goodness' sake, O Lord. I don't know about you, but every once in a while, I'll sit and probably the devil will put thoughts of my past back into my head and say, no, you're not worthy. How are you a reverend? How are you a chaplain trying to help raise high school kids at school? Ah, right. It's like, oh man, did I really do that? Oh, yeah, I did. Think of David's life, all the sins that he continued to do over and over again. Think of all the heroes of faith. They all trip up. They all fall down. That's why he prays this prayer. Do not remember the sins of my youth, nor my transgressions. According to your mercy, remember me for your goodness' sake, O Lord. I think on this side of the cross, we know what that means, don't we? For Jesus' sake, don't remember my sins. He's paid the price for us. According to this covenant love, the covenant God has made a way to bring us to His side. Now, David places his thoughts on God's faithfulness. It's almost like he was so overwhelmed with the thought that his sins are forgiven, he just says straight out, good and upright is the Lord. Period. See, David knows God. One pastor wrote, David is praying to know, and then he's knowing to pray. As we know more about God, we'll be able to pray better. If you just go to God and you think he's just going to keep, you know, pushing you down because you're a sinner, you're never going to want to go pray to him. But David says, no, God is good and upright. And if you know your God is good and upright, you're going to want to come to him with your problems. You're going to, when you sin, you're like, oh Lord, forgive me of my sin, because you know he's good. God is merciful. He's faithful. He has his steadfast love for his people. He's a covenant maker. He'll never break his covenant. And one of the best things you can hear this morning is he's forgiving. God wants you to know that. God wants you to know that he wants to be your friend. And we're going to see that in a little bit of this in the psalm. So good and upright is the Lord. Therefore, he teaches sinners the way. The humble he guides in justice, and the humble he teaches his way. See, when we're instructed to bend the knee to the Lord, it's not we're not bending the knee to a set of principles. We're not bending the knee to a legal system. No, we're bending the knee to a Savior. I love that. He teaches the humble his way. Not the proud. He doesn't teach the proud his way. Not the one who thinks they already know the way. No. And Jesus told a parable about this. I want to read it to us this morning. It's a parable found in the Gospel of Luke. And he reads it this way. He says, he also told this parable to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and treated others with contempt. Two men went up into the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee, standing by himself, prayed this, God, I thank you that I am not like other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all that I get. Sounds pretty prideful, doesn't it? Sounds like somebody who already knows the way. It's his way, and he's going to continue doing it. But the tax collector, standing far off, would not even lift up his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, but the one who's humbled himself will be exalted. The one who relies on God's plan, the one who trusts in the way of the Lord, the one who understands that he's a sinner and there's no other way than bend the knee to Jesus. That's the one who the Lord says, come, follow me. I'll lead you on the way. I'll teach you what you need to know. And that's what David says in our psalm, doesn't he? It's about trusting, following, learning. It's about God connecting the sinner to the covenant of grace. You see, it's not what we do. That's one of the things in this world will keep telling you. Yeah, if you just try harder, you can do it. God says, no. You can try all you want. You're never going to be able to do it. One of the saddest things in the world is those who keep being told week after week in a church that if they just try harder, God's going to love them. How heartbreaking is that? If you just pull yourself up, God's going to love you and God's going to bless you. That's not what Scripture says. That's not what David says here. No, David's telling us it's only by faith. It's only by trusting. It's only by following the way of the Lord. See, David knew and we know that it's only from outside of us does salvation come. David writes that in verse 10. All the paths of the Lord are mercy and truth to such as keep his covenant and testimonies. What a great promise that is. That's a great promise. All the paths of the Lord are mercy and truth. Wow. You see, God is truly kind to his people. He shows mercy to them. And now we get to the very middle verse of this psalm, and everything's coming to focus right here. And he says, for your name's sake, O Lord, pardon my iniquity, for it is great. That's what John Calvin says about this verse. He says, we obtain this deliverance when by faith we lay hold of God's mercy in Christ, through which we can now have certainty and assurance of forgiveness, where once the law pricked and pierced us with a consciousness of sin. That is why the promises offered to us in the law would be fruitless and powerless, but for God's goodness, which assists us through the gospel. Wow. That's why David pleads here. For your name's sake. It's only by the righteousness of the one who came to die for you that you can be saved from your sins. Where you will find salvation. The Apostle Paul says the same thing, doesn't he? He says, there is salvation in no one else. For there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. Jesus saves us from our sin. Jesus leads us on the path. Jesus teaches us the way. See, the more you know that, the more you're going to want to pray to him like David does. Oh, Lord, for your name's sake, pardon my iniquity, for it is great. And now David turns. So on this psalm, this prayer, he's prayed, he's got to the pinnacle. Oh, Lord. And now we're going down. And now he says this. Who is the man that fears the Lord? Him shall he teach in the way he chooses. He himself shall dwell in prosperity, and his descendants shall inherit the earth. Now listen to this. Verse 14. The secret of the Lord is with those who fear him, and he will show them his covenant. I'm like, wait, what? The secret of the Lord. Wait, there's a secret? Have I not heard this? So I thought, I better do some study on this verse right here. Let me see. What are we talking about here? This phrase, the secret of the Lord. And so if I was looking at my Bible and I thought, oh, there's a footnote by that word, secret of the Lord. Sometimes Bibles have footnotes and you can see like what other translations will use for that word. And there's another word. Oh, okay. And so I thought, well, I want to go even deeper. Okay, what can this word mean? What are all the uses of it? And I found out this word can mean the Lord confides. The secret of the Lord. Intimate communication. And friendship. This verse could literally read, the friendship of the Lord is with those who fear him. I thought, wow. Really? How awesome. The friendship. Being a friend with the Lord. Think about being in the inner circle where the Lord confides. Think about being such good friends that the Lord tells you what he's about to do next. He's done that before in Scripture, hasn't he? Think of Abraham in Genesis. Genesis 18. The Lord tells Abraham this. He says, the Lord said, shall I hide from Abraham what I'm about to do? Seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed by him. That's what friends do. Friends confide. Tell them what they're about to do. It says, for I have chosen him that he may command his children and his household after him to keep the way of the Lord. That's what David's telling us. That's what Abraham did. Think about verse 14. The secret of the Lord, the friendship of the Lord. What did Jesus tell the disciples mere hours before his crucifixion? John 15. No longer do I call you servants, for the servant does not know what his master is doing, but I've called you friends. For all that I have heard from my Father, I have made known to you. See, being in a friendship with Jesus, I can't think of a better thing than that. Having a friend that never turns his back on you. Having a friend that every time you hurt them, they forgive you. There's not many friends that we have that do that, do they? That you hurt them. Or you lie. Or you cheat. And they say, I forgive you. It's okay. Over and over and over again, he's forgiving. That is for those who are on the path. That's the secret thing of the Lord, being a friend with him. Friendship of the Lord is with those who fear him, and he will show them his covenant. Now David shows us that his trust is unshakable. When he understands that truth, it's unshakable. He says, my eyes are ever toward the Lord, for he will pluck my feet out of the net. He never has to worry about being stuck in a trap from the enemy anymore. Because he knows. He's a friend of the Lord. The Lord's going to take care of him. And so this final plea he gives us from verses 16 through 21, he knows, he trusts that the Lord will answer this prayer. He says, turn yourself to me and have mercy on me, for I am desolate and afflicted. The troubles of my heart have enlarged. Bring me out of my distress. It's like he's crying out, Lord, help me. How often do we do that? How often do we feel like David feels? That he felt desolate. That means he felt alone. He feels afflicted. His heart is just so heavy. Do we scream out, help me, Lord? Or do we think, all right, I got this. Deep breaths. No. Be like David here. Pray. Have faith. And he finally ends this psalm this morning. Looking on my affliction and my pain, forgive all my sins. Consider my enemies, for they are many, and they hate me with cruel hatred. Keep my soul and deliver me. Let me not be ashamed, for I put my trust in you. Let integrity and uprightness preserve me, for I wait for you. He's just summing up his prayer, repeating things he's already said. I wait for you. He waits for that ultimate friend that knows has his back no matter what. The ultimate friend who will hear him confess his sin and forgive him. Jesus Christ the righteous is that friend, beloved. Is he your friend? Does he lead you on the path every day? Do you cry out to him for help when you're stuck in the net? That's where our prayer should be every day. Every day we should be able to pray Psalm 25, knowing that God will answer it. Because he's our covenant Lord. He's brought us into his covenant with him, and now he calls us friend. See, we're just like the Israelites in the wilderness, aren't we? We're on this journey. We're on these wilderness wanderings. We're going to the promised land. We know that's where we're headed, the promised land. And every step of the way there, when we fall, when we start murmuring, when we trip, do we have trust and faith enough to turn and ask the Lord like David did? Show me your ways, O Lord. See, David's prayer here in Psalm 25 is the perfect prayer for our journey every day. So my prayer is, as we go on through this life, is that we can pray this prayer with David. And then we can remember that Jesus is our friend, our Lord, and he'll never, ever lead us astray. So let's pray. Father God, what a friend we have in Jesus. And we think of all the times that we've turned our back, all the times we've tried to do this on our own, all the times we thought that our way was better, our path was better. We turned around and there he was. And he forgives us every time. Oh Lord, help us to stay on this path. Teach us your ways. That's our prayer. Teach us that we won't fall off the path. For you are the God of our salvation. Help us remember that in these crazy times that we live in. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.